Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich, brought to you by Aqua Systems and GAF Roofing. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right. Hey, welcome to Ride at Home with Rich. And good Saturday afternoon. Hey, by the way, good Mother's Day weekend, Saturday afternoon. You know, this is a great weekend. The weather, well, not so good. Going to have some rain. It's a bit cold. Not looking super great for the weather. But, you know, for your home, for Mother's Day weekend, it is definitely looking super great for you. I got to tell you, so for all the mothers out there, I have a special thing today I'm going to do. So all the mothers can give me a call today and ask any question about their home, anything going on, remodeling, any type of fix, any weird things happening, free of charge for Mother's Day weekend to all the mothers. Give me a shout, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. And of course, as always, we've got a great lineup planned of topics for you today. I've got my latest segment I've been doing, On the Road with Rich. We're going to have some cool stuff on there. And then we'll have, the importance of an egress window in a basement. If you're remodeling, if you're adding space in your basement, how do you do it? What's the importance of it? All that. Removing a load-bearing wall, what everybody wants to do. Open concept, if you don't have it, that's what everybody's looking for. And then, of course, to top it off at the end, we can get into the room everyone wants to be in, the kitchen, and talk about islands versus peninsula. What works and why, and what might be better for you. So, of course, every week, right in the middle of my show, you can see my ride-at-home hack. Find out today how to install crown molding against a popcorn textured ceiling. There is a trick to it that may surprise you, even if you think you know the solution. So stay tuned for that. But Don't forget my main topic today, of course, whatever you want to know, anything that you're looking for, any problems that you have, any issues, any remodeling, something maybe you're about to start and you want to maybe have a couple questions on, any comments, concerns, anything through it. This is where we get to educate the whole 97.1 community for the next hour. So again, feel free to give me a call. We'll talk it out. The number you need one more time, 314-241-9797. And so, you know, to kind of kick off some of the stuff going on around Mosby Building Arts, of course, we have our webinars that we do. So if you are looking for information on, you know, staying in your home for longer, any, you know, accessible design, you know, living your life to the fullest from the comfort of your own home and being able to stay there for the future long term. So our next webinar, that is what it is all about, on May 26th. It will be at 11:30 a.m. So you can go to mosbybuildingarts.com/seminars and see what it's all about. You can register for it. So we have a kind of a list of how many people are coming and stuff. And they will talk about, you know, CAP certified designer. Shannon Cross will discuss all kinds of ways to remodel, ensure that you can get around your home, that it's safe, that it's usable. Lot of great information in this one for sure. So tune in for that again, May 26th at 11:30 a.m. Check it out. And which actually, this kind of leads right into, you know, my On the Road with Rich, because, you know, what I actually just last week, I was with a previous client, and they're looking to do just some bathroom upgrades, you know, and for those of you that may not know, you know, I run around, I go visit all these people, I do, you know, the consulting up front and really talking about the projects and how they can be done and what might help them and, you know, all of that up front and figure out like what Mosby process works best for them. And so they got some bathroom updates on the second floor they want to do, but they also just wanted to have a conversation about the first floor, because they're starting to think, you know, as time goes by, eventually we may want to and or need to be on our first floor instead of going up to the second floor every day, and, you know, a place to stay down there. And of course, the quickest, easiest thing everybody always goes to, you know, a master suite addition, get a bathroom, get a laundry area, you know, add that onto the back of the house with a bedroom. Of course, that's the quickest, easiest, undisturbed. But if you stay, if you have the ability to do it inside the footprint of the home, then you don't have all the expense of the whole addition, footings, getting plumbing that way if you're already kind of over plumbing. And so they have, you know, two bedrooms on the first floor, and they were kind of just going into, could I combine them, you know, take a full bathroom and make it more of a powder room and then add another full bathroom, you know, maybe kind of like flip that tub around, start another bathroom on the other side that gives them a good size full bathroom. And then they can, you know, finish their time in their home on the first floor of the home without necessarily, you know, being required to go upstairs for their daily lives. And, you know, this is a very important thing. It's great to think about ahead of time. I mean, the biggest, you know, kind of comment and I had for him was, it's great that you're thinking about this, because, you know, you don't want to be thinking about these sort of things in the state of emergency. And that happens to so many people that, you know, it doesn't take a lot to all of a sudden need something. And, you know, you one slip on the ice or something, one fall, a hip, a knee, and you can't make it up the stairs and stuff. And it happens so fast, so quick, that it's good to just, you know, forward thinking, be ahead of this. It's, you know, just be proactive about it and ahead of it. So we had a really nice conversation about how it could work, that we can do it, that I think it would fit, but there might be some restrictions. And when we design and they see one or two different designs, there might be one that they like better or works out better for them, but maybe it has to, you know, change some windows on the outside of the house. And then you got to look at kind of the outside of the house as far as, now, how did that look change if you do need to rearrange windows and stuff like that? And you know, they do have egress from their windows because they are already bedrooms and the windows are big enough. So that's a plus. But do you need to shift and move them to make things work out or not? We talked about a plan where we thought maybe we could do it. And, you know, maybe the bathroom's not as big as they would have hoped for, but then we're not, you know, changing a window to make things fit or something like that. So a lot of options, a lot of things to do. And I have a great time running around, visiting, seeing great repeat clients like this client. We did their kitchen about 19, 20 years ago. We did some plumbing stuff not too long ago. We've done three projects for them, and we're about to get into the fourth and then maybe the fifth if they get into that whole redo. So, you know, I love doing that. It's what I do on the daily. I would be more than happy to come out and visit any of you that have something you think you got going on. Feel free. You can call Mosby at 314-909-1800. You can check us out online, see all our information, everything about us, photo galleries, all kinds of great stuff. Check out callmosby.com, callmosby.com. But for now, we'll have plenty more coming up for the rest of the show. If you need anything, feel free to give me a call, 314-241-9797. We're going to get into our first break right now, and I'll take your calls, and I'll have some more great topics and things after these messages.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right open for you. Also, you know, wanted to put out there with Mosby Building Arts. So if you're looking for a great place to work, if you are in the industry as far as any type of plumbing, electrical, carpentry, designer, you know, a bathroom installer, we've got a whole list of people that we're looking for some good employees. And we are looking for an experienced controller. So our controller, Keith, is retiring. And so they're shopping around to fill that role in our accounting and just controlling all of the finance and everything. And I got to tell you, I've been here. This fall will be 20 years for me. And there is, I think, four of us that turn 20 years at Mosby this year, sometime throughout this year. So Justin, congratulations, just got his 20th. And there's a whole list of other people that it's going to be happening to this year. So congratulations when it happens to all of us. But so it is a great team. It's fun, open-minded, very respectful, engaging. They do listen. You can speak up and you can give your ideas, and there's all sorts of great stuff like that. So get your resume in there if you want to be part of a great team. And we are also, looking for a licensed architect, carpenter, bathroom installer, plumber, designer, electrician. So we've got a list of people we're looking to add over the next couple few months here. So get in and get it checked out and, find yourself a great place to work like I did so many years ago, and I've been here so long. So, and speaking of, kind of like what we do and great information and different stuff, like that, my next topic I wanted to get into is, installing an egress window in your basement. So when you go to finish your basement, for years, the rules used to be, in some places, it could still kind of be that way for now. It does take, certain municipalities time to start, bringing in the newer code books and some of that. So some adopt them a lot sooner than others do. But there is, it is a local code in a lot of areas. They're requiring them now. It is a huge safety, factor for your home, for the basement, especially if you finish it. But, so they used to basically say, well, if you finish your basement, but you're not going to sleep down there, you're not going to have a bedroom. They get around it by like building rooms in the basement, but have no closet and, label it an office. And then you're not having to create this egress, which really, when you think about it, the safety factor of a fire happening is truly a big deal and would be a horrible thing to have happen. So having that egress is a great thing. They are requiring them now in a lot of these areas, even when they build. So even when we do a room addition on the back of a house, if we do a full basement that you can go into, a lot of areas will automatically require that you install an egress window with a well that somebody could get out of there, in the event of an emergency fire or whatever, or a firefighter can get in. This is how big these windows, need to be. So it is a pretty big deal if you don't have one and you need to get one put in. But, like I said, codes are changing and they're requiring them all over for almost any type of finished basement. So it's a great thing to do. And, kind of back into that, on the road, running around, checking things out. I've got a client right now. We're getting ready to get some work going for them. And it's kind of just a maintenance list of fix this, repair this, what's wrong with that, do this stuff. And she's got an egress, window well out of her basement. And it's about 4 feet deep. So it's really close. It's maybe 6 inches or so beyond how deep it should be to need like a way to help you out of it or whatever. But there's just no ladder. There's no way if you get in it and you can't lift yourself 4 feet out of that hole, if you're not physically capable of that, you just can't get out. So one of the things on the list, along with storm doors and this and that, is, we're going to purchase one of these ladders and mount it, and into that window well so that they can take a couple steps and actually crawl out of that thing if they ever needed to use it, which is a great thing. So when looking at an egress window, what do you need for one would be like one of the first questions. Well, the window itself, you know, the area you pass through has to be 5.7 square feet, but there's other stipulations too, that it has to be at least 20 inches wide and 24 inches high. So depending on how that math works out and getting it to over that 5.7 square feet there or over, you know, that's the size window mathematically that you need to figure out that you need. But the other stipulation is, of course, it can be no higher than 44 inches off of the floor, which is like that window well I was just talking about. It's like 48 or 50 inches off of what you're standing on. So it's too high for some people to be able to lift themselves out of. So, you know, making that stuff right and to code and everything else is a great thing. But, you know, some of the steps into getting this put in, and sometimes, you know, it might be a good thing to just go ahead and get this put in, even if you're not finishing off your basement like right away, but it could be kind of that first step of now your basement's ready and ready to go for when they do go to finish it. But the thing to remember is when you go to figure out that basement, some upfront designing might not be a bad thing, because you need that. If you're going to have a basement, a bedroom in the basement, you need that egress inside that bedroom. So if you do this first, it's great, but know where the bedroom is going to go. Or if you're not going to have a bedroom, then yeah, it can go wherever would work out for you, because you can be stipulated by the outside of the home on obviously where this can go, how it can fit, you know, how close are you to the property line with your, with the side of your house. So we do kind of analyze outside, where's a good spot to put it. Always call DigRight. If you're going to try something of this magnitude yourself, call DigRight. Make sure there's nothing in there, you know, in the way, electrical passing by or anything like that. You know, be safe with that for sure. But then, you know, as you're looking on that exterior, you need to find out where you can fit that window well, that's that big so you can get through it. You want to think about a lid, like a safety grate, something that can hold a person so no one falls in, because it is a rather big opening, you know, in that window well. And you got to think about water. You got to think about getting electric there for either a sump pump, or you got to have, you know, enough fall in the yard where you can put a drain to drain water out that might get in there and get it away somewhere. I never want to really recommend taking that water back into the house to your interior sump pump. I know they do that a lot, but I'd rather keep it out by a different sump pump or a pipe that goes gravity fed, getting rid of that water. So that's a lot of the things to think about on where it can go and what you got to do out there on the interior. If you're already finished, there is a lot to think about with peeling off drywall and framing and all this stuff to get in there to be able to cut through your foundation and really make this opening. So, you know, a lot to do, a lot to think about in how you get this. Like I said, I would recommend think about, if you're going to finish your basement, even if you want to do it in a couple steps, think about that interior design. Think about the layout and stuff like that and what you need to do and what that basement design is truly going to look like. You always want to be thinking two or three steps ahead if you can. So we're going to get into a hard break here in just a second. So for anybody else out there, you got anything for me, you got any questions, feel free to give me a call, 314-241-9797. And coming up right after the break at the midpoint of the show here will be my right at home hack. Don't miss out on how to do your crown molding on a popcorn ceiling. So we'll take this break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back. It is indeed halfway through the show. So today, I want to go over some crown molding again. So, you know, you want crown molding, but maybe you have the popcorn textured ceilings and you're wondering if it's possible to put it in or how will it look even if you do. Well, there is a trick to getting this crown molding in against the textured ceiling. So working with crown molding can be hard. It can be a tedious process. It could take a while. And this isn't really going to make it any easier or any faster. But I'm telling you, when you're done, it's going to make it look really good, especially if you're using a stained trim, you know, against that painted texture ceiling. So first thing you want to do, cut off a piece of the crown. So make sure you buy plenty of extra. Cut off 10-12 inch long piece. Take a chalk line and pop a line along the wall at the edge of where the bottom of that crown molding is going to be positioned when it's installed. Then basically position that piece of crown on the line and just start sliding that thing back and forth against that ceiling. It will scrape off the texture right where the top of that crown is going to go and just create a real nice flat spot. And there you go. Voila. Everything's going to sit real nice and work out really easily for you when you actually go put it in. Now, you can also cut an angled block to kind of attach to that piece of crown if you're having trouble keeping it on the line and holding it there as you're sliding it back and forth. That can help you keep it in the position right where you need it to go. But also, some of you may be kind of asking, you know, why not pop the line on the ceiling and scrape away the texture and then follow the line on the ceiling? Well, that could work, but if your walls are perfectly straight, that is going to work out really well. If your walls are not perfectly straight, and I don't know many that are, from framing, joint compound, how we float out, you know, drywall and everything, the walls are not perfectly flat. So if your wall bows in and out and kind of waves a little bit, maybe an eighth to a quarter of an inch, you're going to follow the wall with that piece of crown, and it's going to actually kind of curve that line that you've scraped off at the top so that your texture is always still close to the trim. If you pop a perfect straight line and scrape off the texture, you could end up with areas where the texture is a quarter inch or so away from your trim and might be really noticeable, hard to caulk and stuff like that, especially if it's stained. So pop it on the wall, hold it straight. It'll follow the waves of the wall, and your crown should go in really easily right up against that. So I hope that's helpful. And if you want to hear this hack again or any of my hacks, you can go back to any of my social media, Rich Orr's Twitter, they'll be there, and Rich Orr's Facebook. Just search Rich Orr's Mosby and you'll get to my Facebook. And I always post this on my Facebook, so you can find this one and many others, all the ones I've been doing for quite a while now. I do this every week. So hope it's fun and good for everybody and gives you some great tips. We're going to get back to our regular programming here on 97.1. Another thing, I'm going to kind of stay with this structural thing, because when we were talking about the egress windows, if you're building that into an existing basement, you're cutting out foundation and stuff, there is definitely some structure there to think about how that goes in, how that works and everything. And, you know, one of the other biggest things that people really talk about, it's one of our biggest questions online in our online form submissions and stuff, is load-bearing walls. How can I remove them? How do I identify them? What do I do to figure this out? And I see, you know, people all the time, almost every week, there's at least somebody that, you know, is looking for an open concept in an older home because they love the area. They love where they are. And when you're in an older, mature area like Kirkwood, Webster, stuff like that, unless it's a tear down and they rebuild, these older homes are going to be broken up. That was the style when they built them. And so there's a lot to look at and think about, you know, when you're trying to do that. And the other part that usually comes up a lot is, you know, then more space, do you build out and make it a little bit bigger or not, things like that. But, you know, looking at the load-bearing walls and trying to figure out how can you do it, what happens, you know, how do you get through it, which one is it, you know. So a load-bearing wall, of course, is a wall that bears the weight and the force of the structure, and it's transferring that weight down to the foundation, down to the ground, to literally hold up the home. So there's different points around your home, the footings, the foundation, the columns, the piers, that are all these areas that you have to look at and think about when you're trying to do something like this. So if you have a two-story home, then yes, there is definitely, you know, going to be some sort of load-bearing wall in there. If you have a one-story home, a ranch, you got to get into the attic. You got to identify the age of the home, look in the attic, see if it's trusses, make sure they're actually built to go from end to end, so that you can open up and you know, none of those walls are actually, you know, load-bearing. So some of the first trusses came in around 1952, which is really early, and not all of them were actually built to kind of span the whole way across the home. So in trying to identify where that wall is, if your basement is unfinished and you can go downstairs and find the I-beam with the post columns and everything down in the basement, then 90% of the time, right on top of that is going to be a wall that is holding up the next floor or the roof or whatever, you know, above it, ceiling joists, rafters, depending on how it's built. So how do you remove that, and how can you hold up the other areas, you know, once you want to get that wall open? And one of the things to think about is when you have a wall, say it's 20 feet long and it's holding up a second floor or part of the house, that weight of that second floor is spread out throughout that wall. It's not all on one spot. It literally goes around and spreads out. So every joist has, you know, stud has some. So when you're going to take a 20-foot wall, make a 14-foot opening in it, say, you got to think about what they call the point loads at each end of that opening, you know, once you do that. But so in order to do that, you need to look at, you know, putting up temporary supports that will hold up what's above this wall. And usually if it's in the middle of the house, you're going to build a temporary wall 20 inches or a couple feet back from each side of that wall to hold up what's above you down to the floor while you're taking that out. So you're building two walls to take out one wall. And then you can look at, you know, getting that wall out and getting it opened up. The temporary walls hold it up so that you can do your work. And another thing, you know, speaking about figuring things out, feasibility studies, doing things seamlessly, before you get into that wall coming out, and I see it way too often, think about the plumbing, the electrical, the ductwork. You know, how does this run? Where does this really go? Again, I saw another client a couple weeks ago that, you know, had a friend that was going to help them open up their living room wall. They took down drywall, and here's this big opening on one side with the drywall off, and there's three ductwork runs running through there. And they were like, oh, wow, I didn't, you know that would be happening going to the second floor. They thought it would be in the outside walls. I was kind of explaining why they wouldn't do that for the insulation values and keeping. All right, guys, we are back. It is indeed halfway through the show. So today, I want to go over some crown molding again. So, you know, you want crown molding, but maybe you have the popcorn textured ceilings and you're wondering if it's possible to put it in or how will it look even if you do. Well, there is a trick to getting this crown molding in against the textured ceiling. So working with crown molding can be hard. It can be a tedious process. It could take a while. And this isn't really going to make it any easier or any faster. But I'm telling you, when you're done, it's going to make it look really good, especially if you're using a stained trim, you know, against that painted texture ceiling. So first thing you want to do, cut off a piece of the crown. So make sure you buy plenty of extra. Cut off 10, 12 inch long piece. Take a chalk line and pop a line along the wall at the edge of where the bottom of that crown molding is going to be positioned when it's installed. Then basically position that piece of crown on the line and just start sliding that thing back and forth against that ceiling. It will scrape off the texture right where the top of that crown is going to go and just create a real nice flat spot. And there you go. Voila. Everything's going to sit real nice and work out really easily for you when you actually go put it in. Now, you could also cut an angled block to kind of attach to that piece of crown if you're having trouble keeping it on the line and holding it there as you're sliding it back and forth. That can help you keep it in the position right where you need it to go. But also some of you may be kind of asking, you know, why not pop the line on the ceiling and scrape away the texture and then follow the line on the ceiling? Well, that could work, but if your walls are perfectly straight, that is going to work out really well. If your walls are not perfectly straight, and I don't know many that are, from framing, joint compound, how we float out, you know, drywall and everything, the walls are not perfectly flat. So if your wall bows in and out and kind of waves a little bit, maybe an eighth to a quarter of an inch, you're going to follow the wall with that piece of crown, and it's going to actually kind of curve that line that you've scraped off at the top so that your texture is always still close to the trim. If you pop a perfect straight line and scrape off the texture, you could end up with areas where the texture is a quarter inch or so away from your trim and might be really noticeable, hard to caulk and stuff like that, especially if it's stained. So pop it on the wall, hold it straight. It'll follow the waves of the wall, and your crown should go in really easily right up against that. So I hope that's helpful. And if you want to hear this hack again or any of my hacks, you can go back to any of my social media, Rich Orr's Twitter, they'll be there, and Rich Orr's Facebook. Just search Rich Orr's Mosby and you'll get to my Facebook. And I always post this on my Facebook, so you can find this one and many others, all the ones I've been doing for quite a while now. I do this every week. So hope it's fun and good for everybody and gives you some great tips. We're going to get back to our regular programming here on 97.1. Another thing, I'm going to kind of stay with this structural thing, because when we were talking about the egress windows, if you're building that into an existing basement, you're cutting out foundation and stuff, there is definitely some structure there to think about how that goes in, how that works and everything. And, you know, one of the other biggest things that people really talk about, it's one of our biggest questions online in our online form submissions and stuff, is load-bearing walls. How can I remove them? How do I identify them? What do I do to figure this out? And I see, you know, people all the time, almost every week, there's at least somebody that, you know, is looking for an open concept in an older home because they love the area. They love where they are. And when you're in an older, mature area like Kirkwood, Webster, stuff like that, unless it's a tear down and they rebuild, these older homes are going to be broken up. That was the style when they built them. And so there's a lot to look at and think about, you know, when you're trying to do that. And the other part that usually comes up a lot is, you know, then more space, do you build out and make it a little bit bigger or not, things like that. But, you know, looking at the load-bearing walls and trying to figure out how can you do it, what happens, you know, how do you get through it, which one is it, you know. So a load-bearing wall, of course, is a wall that bears the weight and the force of the structure, and it's transferring that weight down to the foundation, down to the ground, to literally hold up the home. So there's different points around your home, the footings, the foundation, the columns, the piers, that are all these areas that you have to look at and think about when you're trying to do something like this. So if you have a two-story home, then yes, there is definitely, you know, going to be some sort of load-bearing wall in there. If you have a one-story home, a ranch, you got to get into the attic. You got to identify the age of the home, look in the attic, see if it's trusses, make sure they're actually built to go from end to end, so that you can open up and, you know, none of those walls are actually, you know, load bearing. So some of the first trusses came in around 1952, which is really early, and not all of them were actually built to kind of span the whole way across the home. So, in trying to identify where that wall is, if your basement is unfinished and you can go downstairs and find the I-beam with the post columns and everything down in the basement, then 90% of the time, right on top of that is going to be a wall that is holding up the next floor or the roof or whatever, you know, above it, ceiling joists, rafters, depending on how it's built. So how do you remove that, and how can you hold up the other areas, you know, once you want to get that wall open? And one of the things to think about is when you have a wall, say it's 20 feet long, and it's holding up a second floor or part of the house, is that weight of that second floor is spread out throughout that wall. It's not all on one spot. It literally goes around and spreads out. So every joist has, you know, stud has some. So when you're going to take a 20-foot wall, make a 14-foot opening in it, say, you got to think about what they call the point loads at each end of that opening, you know, once you do that. But so in order to do that, you need to look at, you know, putting up temporary supports that will hold up what's above this wall. And usually if it's in the middle of the house, you're going to build a temporary wall 20 inches or a couple feet back from each side of that wall to hold up what's above you down to the floor while you're taking that out. So you're building two walls to take out one wall. And then you can look at, you know, getting that wall out and getting it opened up. The temporary walls hold it up so that you can do your work. And another thing, you know, speaking about figuring things out, feasibility studies, doing things seamlessly, before you get into that wall coming out, and I see it way too often, think about the plumbing, the electrical, the ductwork. You know, how does this run? Where does this really go? Again, I saw another client a couple weeks ago that, you know, had a friend that was going to help them open up their living room wall. They took down drywall, and here's this big opening on one side with the drywall off, and there's three ductwork runs running through there. And they were like, oh, wow, I didn't, you know that would be happening going to the second floor. They thought it would be in the outside walls. I was kind of explaining why they wouldn't do that for the insulation values and keeping the air running through the ductworks, you know, temperature good and not changing that. So that's why it's typically in the center of the house. So think about all those things that might be in the way of trying to do that. So once you have all that out of the way, moved, changed, whatever you need, you got the wall out. Now you got to think about a header system that holds up what you're trying to hold up. And depending on how much, how the weight, how big, you know, engineering's going to need to be involved on what size, you know, this beam is. I've seen them where we had one, the beam was so big, we probably had 24 people over there trying to get this thing inside the house and hold up the whole second floor, you know, of the home across half the home. Huge I-beam, very heavy steel. A lot of these can be done with wood, and a couple different ways that it can be done is once you've got it temporary, you can put that header underneath the floor joist. Basically what happens is up high, you'll still have 12, 14 inches, something sticking down from the ceiling, visually separating that space that, you know, so you'll still have some sort of feel of a separation. It may not feel like just one room, and that's okay. You know, and that's probably the most common way it happens more often than not. But the other way is an internal beam where you actually cut off the floor joist. You put the beam up inside the floor joist and you joist hanger them and everything, and you can make that ceiling flat straight through. And then you got an open concept with a flat ceiling, nothing sticking down, feels like one big room. Now it is one big room. It's a great way to do it. It's a great way to, you know, have that open concept feel without the visual, you know, header sticking down, breaking it up. But a lot to do with this. And, you know, here at Mosby, we design, we figure this stuff out. We show 3D renderings of how this stuff looks for you. I offer everyone to check us out. Look at that design service. Look at how, you know, the steps and what we do and how we go through making sure we've got this thing done and right and ready for you and the best possible project for you and how you want it to look. You know, think about learning the different ways to do that header and what's the different cost, and then you can make great educated decisions on all of this. So, hey, we got to get into another break here, but again, phone lines are wide open. In the last segment, I can squeak in a question for someone. We will have time. If you have anything for me, feel free to give me a call, 314-241-9797. Otherwise, we can get into the kitchen, the island, the peninsula, what is better for you when we return right after this. All right, we are back. Final segment rolling through. It always goes so quick, and I just absolutely enjoy this time. You know, it's pretty much the same thing I'm doing all week long, you know, talking about different topics and different reasons to do certain things and not certain things, and, you know, great people to use, you know, some of our trades and some of the companies that we work with, you know, here at Mosby Building Arts is, you know, we really seek out and pick out some really super good trade partners and keep them around for a very long time, you know, to help us out and have a great working relationship, you know, with them. So, you know, one I'd like to touch on right now is Aqua Systems. If you are in the market for any type of water treatment filter product, you know, water softener system, you know, and if you don't like haggling over price, if you don't like hard negotiations with salespeople, you know, Mosby's pretty much the same way of, you know, we're just going to get the information out there. We're just going to deliver it to you. It is what it is. It's truth and upfront, and that's the way they are. You can see a ton of their systems and pricing and everything that you're looking for right on their website, ilovemywater.com. Find out why 9 out of 10 people who talk to Aqua Systems get their water softeners from Aqua Systems. You will absolutely love it. And they deliver large jug bottled water for your office. They have bottled water deliveries they do. They do absolutely everything with water. So check them out. ilovemywater.com to find out more. And for Mosby again, I just want to remind everybody of our upcoming webinar. I mean, you know, this May 26th at 11:30. So it will be on accessible design. They'll be talking about how to live in your home, stay in your home, utilize it to the fullest, be comfortable in it for as long as you need to. So join us then. You can go to mosbybuildingarts.com/seminars to find out more. And if you're looking for a great job, if you're in the industry, in accounting, anything like that that has to do with it, we've got some great openings. Check us out for that too. You will not regret it. One of the top places to work in St. Louis, Missouri. Every year we win that award because we all love being here. So let's get into the kitchen area right here for the last couple minutes that, you know, want to talk about islands and peninsulas, because when you are, you know, if you have the space, you can work it out when entertaining and stuff like that. It's great to have a place for people to sit. It's great to have like a separation barrier to kind of, this is where I'm working. This is where, you know, you can be. We can still interconnect. We can still see each other. You can maybe help a little if we do things, but keep that barrier separation there. And either, you know, island or peninsula could, you know, perform that for you. So the difference between the two, obviously the island is freestanding in the middle of the kitchen, and, you know, it's going to be open on all four sides, so you may be able to get a little better seating around it. But the peninsula, yes, exactly how it's named, it's going to be connected to a wall or cabinets or something on one side. So if the kitchen's a little bit smaller, a peninsula is a good way to gain that area, get more countertop space, and that little separation, you know, buffer worked out, you know, for you with that peninsula kind of coming out somewhere, and creating that. So, you know, which is better for you is going to rely a lot on layout, room size, how the designers figure out that working triangle to keep things, you know, really good for you, and how you manage to cook and maneuver around and get everything done. So, and another great positive thing is you can get the sink and all sorts of other stuff in there. So check out our website, callmosby.com, and you can find all of this information about our designers, about everything else. And, you know, give us a shout, 314-909-1800. We'd love to come out and visit you, see you, and help you out. So for now, I'm good. I will talk to everybody next week. Hey, be good out there, and I'll talk to you next Saturday. All right, we are back. Final segment rolling through. It always goes so quick, and I just absolutely enjoy this time. You know, it's pretty much the same thing I'm doing all week long, you know, talking about different topics and different reasons to do certain things and not certain things, and, you know, great people to use. You know, some of our trades and some of the companies that we work with, you know, here at Mosby Building Arts is, you know, we really seek out and pick out some really super good trade partners and keep them around for a very long time, you know, to help us out and have a great working relationship, you know, with them. So, you know, one I'd like to touch on right now is Aqua Systems. If you are in the market for any type of water treatment filter product, you know, water softener system, you know, and if you don't like haggling over price, if you don't like hard negotiations with salespeople, you know, Mosby's pretty much the same way of, you know, we're just going to get the information out there. We're just going to deliver it to you. It is what it is. It's truth and upfront, and that's the way they are. You can see a ton of their systems and pricing and everything that you're looking for right on their website, ilovemywater.com. Find out why 9 out of 10 people who talk to Aqua Systems get their water softeners from Aqua Systems. You will absolutely love it. And they deliver large jug bottled water for your office. They have bottled water deliveries they do. They do absolutely everything with water. So check them out, ilovemywater.com, to find out more. And for Mosby again, I just want to remind everybody of our upcoming seminar, our webinar, I mean, you know, this May 26th at 11:30. So it will be on accessible design. They'll be talking about how to live in your home, stay in your home, utilize it to the fullest, be comfortable in it for as long as you need to. So join us then. You can go to mosbybuildingarts.com/seminars to find out more. And if you're looking for a great job, if you're in the industry, in accounting, anything like that that has to do with it, we've got some great openings. Check us out for that too. You will not regret it. One of the top places to work in St. Louis, Missouri. Every year we win that award because we all love being here. So let's get into the kitchen area right here for the last couple minutes that, you know, want to talk about islands and peninsulas, because when you are, you know, if you have the space, you can work it out when entertaining and stuff like that. It's great to have a place for people to sit. It's great to have like a separation barrier to kind of, this is where I'm working. This is where, you know, you can be. We can still interconnect. We can still see each other. You can maybe help a little if we do things, but keep that barrier separation there. And either, you know, island or peninsula could, you know, perform that for you. So the difference between the two, obviously the island is freestanding in the middle of the kitchen, and, you know, it's going to be open on all four sides, so you may be able to get a little better seating around it. But the peninsula, yes, exactly how it's named, it's going to be connected to a wall or cabinets or something on one side. So if the kitchen's a little bit smaller, a peninsula's a good way to gain that area, get more countertop space, and that little separation, you know, buffer worked out, you know, for you with that peninsula kind of coming out somewhere and creating that. So, you know, which is better for you is going to rely a lot on layout, room size, how the designers figure out that working triangle to keep things, you know, really good for you, and how you manage to cook and maneuver around and get everything done. So, and another great positive thing is you can get the sink and all sorts of other stuff in there. So check out our website, callmosby.com, and you can find all of this information about our designers, about everything else. And, you know, give us a shout, 314-909-1800. We'd love to come out and visit you, see you, and help you out. So for now, I'm good. I will talk to everybody next week. Hey, be good out there, and I'll talk to you next Saturday.